Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to a GitCon exclusive episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host Joe Branton, and joining me today are Mick and Dan from That Pedal Show and Nick Reinhardt from pedalsandeffects.com. Thanks very much for coming down to do the podcast, gang.
Hey, you're very welcome.
Howdy.
So, GitCon, this is like day four now. This has been quite an intensive event. So it's 5 days of YouTubers and this new influencers, if you will, all hanging out at the Warwick and Framus factory in Germany and getting loads of cool content with each other and all the cool stuff that's here. But what have you been checking out? Like, what have you enjoyed seeing the most? Have there been any like cool bits of equipment or great opportunities that you've had to collaborate with other people whilst you've been here, That Pedal Show?
The first opportunity is meeting people. It's hard to imagine that we hadn't met so many of the people here. And when you sit in your own little bubble on there, you know, in your studio making videos for YouTube, and you know, you maybe catch a few other people's shows and everything, you may be, I don't know, not form an opinion, but you have a view of what that person might be like. Then you meet them in person, and it's just been so cool getting to know everybody.
It's amazing.
So that's on a people front. On a gear front, Dan and I were playing a new TC pitch shifting device earlier, and me and pitch shifting, you know, it's just I'm like overdrive, tremolo, bit of delay. That's me. So to even think about pitch shifting is crazy, but that blew my mind.
There have actually been some cool things from TC here. I was really into the new prototype pedal, the June 6 that they've got.
The chorus.
Yeah.
The chorus circuit from the Juno.
Juno.
But that's not like going into production. That's like, they just have that. And he's like, I don't know, we just made it.
Really?
That's not like a final thing. He's just like, oh yeah, we're not sure if we're doing that or not.
Oh wow.
Which is crazy, because, I mean, people would flip over that. Especially if it was stereo, I think. Like, I had seen some photos of it online. Everyone's like, it's got to be stereo. But I don't even know if they could do that without a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not 100% sure what the deal is. Like, if TC own that circuit in some strange way.
So it's Juno. Was there a brand above Juno? Was it Korg or something?
Juno was the name of the,
yeah, so
of
it,
the keyboard.
Yeah, so it was a Roland. It was
Roland.
Yeah. Juno. Okay. Yeah. And it was the Juno 06, which had a which had a very unique chorus sound. And that's been pulled.
He said
across.
It's the exact core, the exact circuit.
Yeah, so I don't
which
know.
I would love that as in a guitar pedal.
Yeah, it would be super cool. So, so what about you, Nick? What have you been checking out?
So it's funny that you guys mentioned the meeting everyone, and I'm not just saying this because I'm in a room with you guys, but Guitar Nerds and That Pedal Show is literally the only thing I'd ever heard of in terms of YouTube stuff. And it's like, I'm not trying to be weird in talking about that, but I don't watch gear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that, like, a lot of times since we do the pedals and effects thing, they pop up in my sidebar, but it's like, it'll be the kind of thing, and no offense if you guys have done a video on this, but like, $100 Squire versus $10,000 vintage Strat. And I'm like, I have no interest.
I mean, YouTube is the home of clickbait titles.
So that's a thing. And actually, maybe we can talk about that, but like, whatever. Like, I'm conflicted about the clickbait thing because we did the one video we did that had a clickbaity thing was like the biggest video we ever had. The 100 titles thing, which I was, and it was funny because when I was talking to Juan about doing that, he was like, this is a bit of a tangent, but we're YouTube
Let's
guys,
do it.
So it's talking about it. So I was like, hey, I have this dumb idea that we should just plug in 100 pedals. And I think that that would be like a funny thing that like might get some views or whatever. And he's like, okay, well, let's start at 10 and then every week we'll build up and do more. I was like, dude, no, trust me. It has to be 100 pedals and the title card needs to be in yellow and it needs to say 100 pedals plugged in at once or whatever. And then like we just farted around and did that. And then it was the only video we ever did that was like kind of blew up or whatever and had a significant amount of views was that one. But I'm always conflicted about the clickbaity stuff because I'm like, it works. Mm. That's the tried and true way. But I'm just like kind of weird about it. So
you know what I think about that though? There is popular and there is clickbait. And popular is something that nobody's done before that has an interesting conclusion that is actually interesting.
Well,
and,
definitely.
And clickbait is, I'm going to lure you in because that you think there's an answer here. But
I can't believe I look so young.
Pharmaceutical companies hate that.
Sure.
I want to see that.
I actually haven't seen that one.
So you're
one
talking
either.
About Skype? Okay, first thing I get out of here.
Just seeing that, like, there's this YouTube world of like gear people is just, it was like crazy. I didn't even realize. In fact, I didn't even know what this event was.
No one did.
Because finally, last week, I had to get in touch with Henning, the guy who put this thing together, and be like, dude, what is this? What are you doing? And so he's like, we Skyped and then he explained it to me. And it was so funny because, so Joe, you had told me about who Rob Chapman is.
Yeah.
Because so my band, Terra Mellis, was here. We played with Joe's band a couple weeks ago or whatever, last month in London. And that his band played.
Yeah.
And like, you were like, oh, you know who that guy is, right? I'm like, I don't know who that is. And you're like, you never heard of Rob Chapman or whatever? And I was like, what? Huh? And then you gave me the whole rundown about what it was and like Andertons. I mean, dude, I didn't even know what Andertons was.
Right.
So I'm just illustrating, like, I'm very removed from this. Not to make this a whole thing, but like I kind of like fell into the gear world of talking about pedals and stuff. I'm in a band, a guitar player in a band, and I befriended Juan, and then it turned into this thing that we do together. Yeah. So anyway, so it's been a very bizarre thing walking around, even though I do NAMM each year, but as an artist.
I think that level of maybe not being deep in that world and doing other things is true for everybody in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
So if you take Dan, for example, Dan's not a YouTuber. What do you do, Dan?
I build rigs and design stuff.
Cool. Yeah, so I guess everyone has their own weird version of what this thing is.
And I think a lot of us are guilty. Maybe guilty's not even the right word. A lot of us are so absorbed in what we're doing, trying to get it done.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, earn some money, put some stuff out on YouTube, share. Because for us, the point about doing the show is to try and impart some of what you know in a free way that might be useful to somebody.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So you're consumed with doing that, so you don't have time to be watching everyone else's shows all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, the guys you become aware of, like, you know, you're aware of Pete Thorne because, you know, watching someone said, you know, check out this demo and Pete's doing his thing, it's like, he is just unreal.
Yeah.
And, you know, he composes, you know, songs for every demo, and getting to meet him and hang out. So, dude, how are you doing that? You know, and he's like, just, you know, the sound informs us and he plays things and he starts writing there on the spot. It's like, it's the coolest thing in the world. You know, I was a big fan of the Fretted Americana demos from years ago, watching Phil X. And he just, you know, just even watching the energy level, you know, and the rock that he brings to everything. It's so cool because he's here and he's hanging out and we're talking and about the gigs and now, you know, because he's the guitar player for Bon Jovi now and he has a whole different experience level. But he's here,
of course.
And it's so, yeah. But on the different side of that is guys that I hadn't heard of who are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, It's been fantastic, considering that we had no idea what this was going to be.
That's it. And I think because we've got a mix of people who produce online lessons. There are people who do things like what your guys' shows are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, us, that's a podcast, essentially. And there seems to be so many people coming from different angles that it's really nice to have that sort of broad mix. Now, from on sort of an effects side of things... one thing that I think we've all got a chance to do here is TC Electronic are here, and they're getting everyone to make their own tone prints, which has been pretty cool. Mm. I thought it would be interesting to discuss how different the two of your channel's tone prints are from each other.
Okay,
We have another story.
Yeah.
We're going out to Denmark.
Oh, so that's amazing.
I'm taking a few of my vintage things out there.
Okay.
And we're going to sit and we're going to nail it.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
I'm really excited. Yeah. So we've known Tor for a long time. And
yeah.
He is just the best guy. And he's so passionate. You know, he loves TC. He loves working there. He's, you know, his ideas... and things like the mash switch.
The mash switch is an incredible... Have you heard about what Pete Thorne has done with his mash switch for his three effects? He only just did them, actually. I bumped into him after he'd finished. But he was using them to make... using it as a volume pedal for swelling in ambient delays and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. Cool. But
brilliant,
yes.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Brilliantly executed. So yeah, and we, you know, we've had a bunch of their stuff in the shows, and so we've been talking about doing this for a while. We did this morning. We're playing with the harmonizer.
Yeah,
it's like I really want to do tone print stuff, but I want to take my partially working CE1, which because it's partially working, it has this thing that sounds amazing, and I want him to nail it. You know, so we're gonna go out there and.
So can we sit on that for a minute? Can we talk about that partially working CE1? Because I think, Nick, you might be really into this. Now, I've heard you talk about this at the that pedal show live that you did at the Boss 40th anniversary, which, Nick, was the same show that we played the week after that pedal show did a live broadcast from there. But yeah, the partially working CE1. Mm. Can you explain for the listeners the broken element of it and why it makes everything sound so good? Now, it won't be as good because you can't hear it, but it would be cool to.
So CE1 is the first pedal that Boss ever made. It's that big green thing, and I've had mine forever. The
green, isn't it?
Sort of a green. Originally, it's like a greeny dark. Yeah, dark color. But mine's so old and knackered, and so
no way.
You know, it's the grey coming underneath that you see. So originally that pedal was made for keyboards.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the correct input impedance for a guitar. It sounds okay if you put it after buffers and things, but for plugging a guitar into it, you turn up and be no top end.
Right.
So what you needed to do is change the volume pot for a 50k pot to a 500k pot, because if the volume pot, it's right on the input and feeds directly into the preamp. So you turn up and you have all this lovely top end, but because you've changed so much less resistance, then the preamp turns into the most amazing sounding overdrive pedal you've ever heard.
Whoa.
It's incredible.
Crazy.
And we did it at the... I mean, no one was expecting it.
I'd never heard it. I mean, we've done that on the show a couple of times. I'd never heard it sound like that. I mean, it literally sounded... like a full range overdrive, even a bit kind of transistory, so almost a little bit fuzzy on the edge.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Well, I think you were saying at the time, a lot of people were actually using that as a drive pedal because it was before drive pedals existed.
Yeah, well, it was, you know.
Well, that was a known mod that you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back then.
Yeah, definitely. You know, back in the... Wow, so that pedal is 79.
But didn't they start shipping them with 500k pots after
eventually?
That? Because I think when it came out, it wasn't especially popular for keyboards.
When it came out, it was dying. No one was selling them. And so this is their first product. They'd made a whole bunch of stock. They said, okay, if we sell a moderate amount, there's 18 months worth of stock. They just made the whole lot, sat on shelves and did nothing. Until a photo came out in a magazine that Herbie Hancock had one sat on his keyboard. Then after that, saw a random photo in a magazine. It wasn't like an ad. It was just a photo. And then after that, they started selling units. And then because guitar players were plugging into Leslie's and things, were used to trying to, you know, and this keyboard effect. It was like, hey, I'll try it. But then to make it work for guitar, you had to change that pot. And then suddenly they went, well, hang on, what happens if I turn it up now? So it's such a great sound.
Yeah.
But my particular CE1, there's a switch on it that's changed from the chorus to the vibrato. And the oscillator for the vibrato has basically stopped working. So what happens is it turns into like this notch filter. And it's amazing. It's like an electric mistress when you turn off from the normal to the filter, and you sweep and you find that.
So you can just find it.
And it's exactly the same thing on the on my broken CE1. It's like, this is amazing. You know? And it's one of those happy accidents. I never would have known that the CE1 did that. One of my favorite effects is the original electric mistress, which has that filter in it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can be a little bit overbearing. I mean, on the modulation sound, awesome. But the broken CE1 has just enough of that notch in it just to be impossibly cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's a wicked pedal.
That's neat.
It's very cool.
Speaking of the, so you use the, you checked out the new TC, is it a harmonizer? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's not. That's not its name.
That's not its name.
It has a name which I can't bring to mind. Yeah.
It's a quintessence.
There you go.
Quintessence.
Yes. And Nick, is that the pedal you used for your?
Yeah. So Juan has been friendly with Tor for years, I guess, and I've heard all about him. So I finally got to meet him on the first day or whatever, and Juan asked him, like, oh, so what's new? What are you guys showing here? And he's like, oh, well, we have this, like, intelligent harmonizer or whatever. And so I was like, interesting. I love harmonizers, you know? And so he kind of plopped me down, put a guitar in my hand, and said, check it out. And within, like, 30 seconds, I was like, oh, my God, dude, this thing rules.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. It tracks great, that mash function. In fact, whatever... So I had this really, really awesome sound going, and Juan had like done a little video of me doing it, and then, you know, we finished it up and we didn't film anything, we just kind of were checking it out. So I went back, and Tor said, like, oh, why don't you take it downstairs and, you know, check it out for a couple of days, and then we'll do a tone print in a few days. I'm like, okay. So I bring it down and I'm like kind of bumming out because I could not find what the sound was that he had set me up with right when he set me down. And I'm like watching the video, like listening for what the intervals were and stuff, and I'm like, fuck, man, I don't know what that is. And so I actually ran upstairs a couple days later and was like, dude, I know this is like a random question and you're not going to have any idea what I'm talking about, but whatever the setting was that you set me down with, do you happen to have any idea what that was? Tor just straight up pulls up his email. He's like, oh, yeah, it was this. He just happened to set it on one of the default settings, which I think is like Tone Print 3 or something. And so he got me set up with it. I was able to find it. But in any case, so I sat in that room over there and learned it for a couple days because I was like, dude, I love this pedal immediately. I fell in love with it and then came up and did a tone print with him.
So now I know what it was that you, the tone print that you made, but can you try to explain the effects that you made?
So I don't know when this will be released, but I'm guessing maybe there will be the tone print will be available by this point. But if not, so it was set to C major, which we decided is...
I'm not going to know.
Is major Ionian?
Yep.
Okay. It was C Ionian. And I kept trying to like go through all the different like Ian, the different scales. I'm like, which one's C major? I don't know. Like I learned that when I was 12, but then that disappeared out of my brain. So it's C major... And then you can have two different voices, two different harmonies bouncing off of it. Well, I'll get to the bouncing. So I had it set for, I think, a major third and a lower fourth. Okay.
Oh, nice.
You're in the tone print editor, there's a little bit of a learning curve because the numerical values of each voice is not actually like... It's not like when you go up to five, it's not a fifth necessarily. It's just five, whatever, semitones up, right? So it took like a second to understand it. But so anyways, once I figured that out, I think I got maybe like an upper third and a lower fourth or something. And that sounded really neat. And then if you dig into the guts of it in the Tone app, once it's plugged into a computer, there's some delay in there too. So I set one of them to be like 250 milliseconds maxed out delay. And then I grabbed the lower fourth, I think, at 125. So basically it goes like, ba-ba-ba, you know, you hit a C note and it goes do 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 kind of thing or something like that. And so, and then I mess with the rise and fall time of it or something like that for, with the mash switch, because then you could get in there and get really, really detailed and what it's doing. And so basically what I was talking to Joe about earlier is it has a like a Paul Simon, like 80s Graceland Rhythm of the Saints vibe. I don't know if you know the song Proof, but there's a song Proof on Rhythm of the Saints. And the live version of that song is crazy. There's like all sorts of like percussion going on, marimbas, rhythm guitars, like jangling in the background. And obviously like his band in that era was fucking ripping and insane live. I mean, I'm obsessed over a handful of live versions of those songs. But anyways, there's one live version of the song. There's so much shit going on and like this amazing like little lead guitar line, but it all sort of blends together into all these like melodies like happening at the same time. So this sound that I was getting out of it, I was going for the Paul Simon like 80s sound. So cool. So when you're like kind of playing up high and you're kind of like muting it a little bit and go like do 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 da do 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 da do 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 da, you know what I mean? Something like that. So that's the bass sound of it. And then when you hit the mash button, and I shift down to this really bizarre, ugly, like wobbly sound, and I didn't even pay attention to what I set the intervals at. I was just kind of like at that point randomizing stuff. And so I think it kind of like falls down into a unison with maybe one semitone up, like a half step or something. So it's like, so it goes like do do da do do da 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 da, something like that.
Yeah.
So I was really happy with it. I was like, dude, fucking, that's my favorite thing that I've seen the whole show.
When I spoke to Tor, he did say that you had made the most complicated of all the
temperatures. There's a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing too. I was talking to him about it. Is like, I love when you plug into a pedal, a new pedal that you're maybe not familiar with, and you feel the inspiration right off the bat.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing to me, because there's at least, like, let's say within 1 minute, you know, like, if it's true love, you know what I mean, with the pedal, where it's like, oh yeah, I've been like digging away at this thing for, you know, a few days now, and I'm not really getting anything out of it. And there's a few exceptions to that rule, but for me, generally, I know very quickly when it's like an inspiring something that I'm going to want to like use to the full extent.
Yeah, and back on GitCon, have you guys been able to check out any of the Universum guitars that are here at the moment? Just as we're talking about weird stuff. I didn't.
They're the guys right in the middle of the hall with the weird looking things.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like a Strat, I'm not going to play it.
So Nick, you did check out their folding guitar.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's pretty weird, isn't it?
I mean, it's like not the right kind of weird for me.
No.
And I don't know what that kind of weird is right for someone. There's like expensive guitars here.
Yeah.
I think those were like 5,000 euro or something.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that doesn't enter my brain. You know what I mean? Like a guitar at that price, I'm like, but you know, I did check it out and stuff, and they're cool. I mean, if I found one like behind a dumpster, you know, like randomly, like would I just take it and bring it home with me? I would be stoked to have one of those.
So the guitar in question folds up and goes into like a leather briefcase, and podcast listeners will know that I'm obsessed with travel guitars and finding the perfect travel guitar. And I was really happy when I saw.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
that there was a travel guitar with a special case.
I thought you were joking when you told me that.
No, mate, I love travel guitars.
Really?
Yeah, they're just because they're the best idea ever. So Sonus made one.
I think a Fender Telecaster, and you should take the strings off, undo the four screws that join the body and the neck together, and fit in any suitcase.
So that's funny you say that, because so my band Terramellos, we toured with this band Dillinger Escape Plan a few years ago, and their second like auxiliary guitarist, this guy James Love, he played two, like, he had two Ibanez shredders, like a bright pink and a yellow one or something. You know, the 80s like shredder guitars. And after every set, he had this suitcase, and he would disassemble, he would kill the strings after every show and disassemble exactly that. Necks came off, everything came off, and they fit in a handheld suitcase that went on, you know, on the bus. And it was so like funny because they're on a bus with a trailer and he doesn't need to be doing that, but he probably just comes from that like DIY zone of like, oh, you know, you got to conserve space, like whatever. And so he had two of his guitars in a like little suitcase.
Yeah.
So, but what's funny about that universe of travel guitar is like super practical, like it folds into a little case, but at the same time, not practical at all. Because like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, the guy, you got to pull it out, and there's all the special moves to like undo it, and they're all very careful with it, you know? And it's like, that's not, you don't just like, I don't know. There was something funny about it. I was like, it was an amazing idea, but at the same time, it's like a very complicated, like complex thing, and it only fits in like one case kind of thing, or, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, and kind of like background to effects again. I don't know if this is going to be possible to answer because both of you, both of your companies are quite involved with your own sort of effects. But what do you think about the boutique effects market at the moment? Like we've had a massive increase, a massive influx in like smaller companies really establishing themselves, especially kind of Nick does quite a lot of stuff with Earthquaker Devices who. I don't know, they're probably now the biggest boutique pedal company that are still like a small company. They're probably moving the most units out of any of the small companies at the moment. But is there a company that you guys think are at the absolute forefront of that at the moment for you guys, that pedal shop?
Oh, man.
It depends what you're looking at. I mean, if you're talking about who's pushing forward, who's doing the most out there stuff, then it's not my area of
knowledge. No, it doesn't have to be out there stuff. Like,
but, you know, Earthquaker every day of the week, isn't it? Anything cool. What are we playing? The delay, the big delay thing and the reverb thing. Empress.
Oh, yeah.
Super impressed with Empress stuff at the moment.
Yeah. Those guys are really amazing. But, you know, we're going to see Analog Man in a few weeks' time, and you know, because he was there right at the beginning, he's still making these amazing fuzzers that have inspired a generation of builders, you know. So there's, you know, I'm still a fan of all that stuff, but when we get pedals in, like we have this GFI thing in, and it is insane. So it's a small pedal. So it's a delay and reverb in one, but the engines they use are crazy.
Right.
8 presets.
It seems to be
It's really simple. Just cycling through them, it's like it's so easy to use. But the sounds on it are as good as anything I've heard.
I think for us, the most interesting thing is who is using DSP to be controlled in an analog signal environment. So if you can keep some portion of analog dry through and it still sounds good and credible, because, you know, we're kind of a bit more old school rock and roll, we like traditional guitar sounds. So the minute you digitize everything and mess it up and all of that, that's out of my world anyway. I don't know about you, Dan, but it's out of my world. So for me, the exciting stuff is who is credibly doing awesome sounding stuff in the analog world, but with awesome digital control, which enables you to do things. True. Think about Chase Bliss.
Joel Cordy from Chase Bliss. I mean, it's amazing what he's done. You know, digital controlled analog pedals in a tiny format with the most insane expression options and stuff. It's amazing. The reality is, though, there are companies popping up every single day. And, I mean, you know, just personally, I'm obsessed with this stuff, and I can't keep up. with everything that's coming out. You know, it's wonderful. I think we're in a golden age of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're a musician at heart, you can now go out and find your sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason you can't do that is you're lazy.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much amazing sounding stuff.
Or poor.
Oh, but yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Oh, you can find, you can still find it. Didn't say you could pay for it, but you can still find it.
Yeah, sure. What about you, Nick?
It's stateside. It's Earthquaker Devices.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like their lead. I mean, they're still a boutique company, and they, you know, have people hand putting everything together. I actually was just there last month, and I learned. I was like populating.
Yeah, so I heard about this. So you were a guest builder for.
Yeah, for I did nine. I populated 12 Acapulco gold fuzzes.
Right, that's with, the single knob
that's kind of resembles like a sun, whatever the sun head is, the famous sun head. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned the golden age of sound. That's true. I always find myself using that phrase with like. Builders and stuff, but it's funny because with Earthquaker, I always just kind of giggle to myself when I'm like, you know, scrolling the Instagram feed or whatever, checking out people's boards or whatever, and I don't see an Earthquaker pedal on there. I'll whisper to myself, I don't trust the pedal board that I because like you know they're just so happening now and like they're just it's I don't know you guys met them before.
Yeah, I've met Jenny Stillman.
Yeah, that's right. They were at GAC recently.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just like the sweetest, like most rad people that I really like when you meet like builders and, you know, quote unquote companies that just have, you know, a good vibe to it and not like a faceless corporation or something, yeah. You know what I mean? But Earthquaker Devices, like by far is leading the pack, and it's crazy even picturing where they're going to take that.
How on the amount of boards that you put together, Dan, do you come across Earthquaker a lot now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I come across Earthquaker, I come across Walrus Audio.
Walrus Audio, definitely coming up.
I think
they're more popular in the States than they are in the UK.
Yeah, and certainly the boards that I'm doing... the Earthquaker stuff, you know, it's amazing. You turn it on and it'll transport you. You know, it's great. I think a lot of the boards that I'm doing for the guys that are touring, especially guys that are, if they're not an original band member and they've just got to have, you know, a bunch of really practical sounds, it's more, you know, delays, reverbs, 3 or 4 overdrive pedals, compression, maybe an octava, and some modulation, you know. But when you hear young bands just creating noise and stuff and not even using guitars, that's when you'll see a lot of the Earthquaker stuff. There's another the Hologram, the Infinite Jets.
Right.
Have you seen that?
I don't think I have.
Have you seen that?
I have one. Yeah.
It's
great.
It's outrageous. But I love that. I love that there's things that are coming out. It's still surprising.
Yeah.
For anyone who didn't get that, the brand is Infinite Jets.
It's Hologram.
Hologram is the brand. Right. Infinite Jets is the pedal, and it does.
It does some glitchy stuff. It does some synth swells. So, I want to comment on something you just said. But while we're on this, So Hologram, I think Electronics, they have the Dream Sequence and they have the Infinite Jets.
Yep.
And so when I said earlier that sometimes there's pedals that take you a while to get into, those are two pedals that almost broke my brain, because the thing about them was I knew, and so for pedals and effects, do you know these pedals?
No.
Okay, you'll flip on them. They're crazy. In fact, Jamie Stillman, he was the one that hit me to it, and he was like, that guy is on another level. Okay, I forget what his name is, but maybe Ryan, and he plays in a really cool band too. Sorry, I can't remember what it is, but so he got us the sequencer, and like I said, I was sitting there reading the manual, and for pedals and effects, I tried to shoot videos for that pedal 3 times. Wow. And we would get like an hour into it and I'd be sweating and I'd be like, dude, we gotta call this. I can't do this, because there's so much shit inside them of what you can do, and there's secondary functions, there's third functions of all the knobs, and they're so that's the exception to the rule for me, specifically that company of or that guy about it taking a really, really long time. For me, some other people, like, maybe that are have different perspective on, like, tech stuff could get in there quickly. But, like, I have a notebook with pages of hologram notes about how to do the Infinite Jets and the Dream Sequence, which it's like, that's not usually the thing with me. I hate instructions. Mm-hmm. I don't read instruction booklets. Like, I just go dive in, like this TC Electronic thing. I was like, oh, I get it. Cool. Makes sense to me. Where that pedal made no sense to me, but I loved it, and I think it's totally killer. Oh, I was going to say, I have a funny story. So you mentioned you do, you build pedal boards and stuff for people. And you were saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, a lot of these dudes that are just in someone else's band, maybe they don't want the wild stuff. They want classic shit.
Yeah, unless unless they've got to play a song that, that needs something wild.
Sure.
What they're trying to do is consolidate everything so that they can, you know, they're not costing too much freight for the company. And they'll have it back on the next tour.
So, one was supposed to show, bring, we have Earthquaker demo boards in Los Angeles, and sometimes when people are touring or rehearsing there, we'll go and do board demos for them. One does it, did it for like Queens of the Stone Age, Dweezil, Zappa, had a, got a demo once, that was pretty cool. And so Juan was supposed to do it for like a hip hop guy a few months ago, and he couldn't be there for it last minute. He had to move out, leave town, and so he was like, hey, I need you to do this. All right, no problem. Who is it? And it's like, oh, it's Jay-Z's guitar player. And I'm like, all right, what? Well, I'm gonna, okay, you know. So, so they were rehearsing in Los Angeles. So I bring these two massive pedal boards to this like really, really nice rehearsal studio, and it's like massive. I'm used to like rehearsing in like shitholes, like basically the size of this room, and it's like all nice, like production. They've got the lights and everything, and so I meet the dude, super nice guy, and I set all the boards up for him. And we spent an hour going through every sound, right? And, like, he was flipping on even the weird ones, you know? And there was, he started playing this riff, and I don't know what this was. Maybe you guys could identify it. He, like, started, he flipped when he turned on this one fuzz pedal or something. And, like, the band started playing with it, and it was like, da-na, da-na, na-na, 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 na-na.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
No.
I recognize the riff. Someone's going to, I'll be like, hey, dumbass. It's this, it's a Jay-Z song or something. But I was like,
was he 99 Problems? Was that him?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Maybe I mean, it's that song. This is the wrong audience
for okay,
yeah.
Identifying. Yeah, I know, right?
I got 99 Problems, but a fuzz ain't one. Is that the
end? Yeah, that's it.
Okay, right. Well, so anyways, so he was flipping on it. He loved all the wild shit and all that. And I was like, man, respect. Like, and the dudes in the room were like, yeah, that right there. You know, when he turn on a rainbow machine or something, like have it dimed or whatever. So it was just funny, like, because I expected the same thing, him to be like, no, no, man, I need, like, where's your, like, Quan sound or something, you know what I mean? So it was really cool. And just an amendment to that story. So I left him with him overnight, and I had to go pick him up the next day. He's like, yeah, just come by, you know, tomorrow and whatever, we'll be there. And so, like, I get there, and I kind of, like, walk up to the studio, and there's two dudes like, hey, can we help you? And I was like, oh, I don't know, I just got to grab these boards. And they're like, okay, well, I have them outside. I packed them up for you. I'm like, okay, cool. And he's like, yeah, we can't go inside right now. The boss is in there. Jay-Z was like on the other side of the door. And I was like, oh, shit, that's pretty crazy. I don't know anything about Jay-Z, but I'm like, there's like a crazy dude just on the other side of that door right there. So I grabbed the boards. And, you know, I think the guy ended up with a handful of Earthquaker things from there. He spoke with them. But, yeah, so it's a weird thing. Like, when, I guess, maybe even when people in that world, like, hear those sounds and feel inspired by them. And stuff.
And that's it. That's it. If you click on something and it moves you, and it certainly for me, I find it really difficult to play if I'm not moved by the sound.
Right.
You know, it's... But if I am moved, I can play sort of beyond myself.
Sure.
Yeah. We've had some amazing guitar players here this week. And we're watching Tom Quayle and Martin Miller out there before. Mick and I was just going, just shoot me. They were just amazing.
Tom Quayle is something.
It looks like guitar playing. It kind of sounds like guitar playing. Everything about it is guitar playing, but my brain can't comprehend
it. I can't work out what he does, ever.
Yeah.
I just want to go home and play an E major.
Yeah. But yeah, but then you have those moments. Definitely. Yeah, just those moments where you step on something and it's like, okay, that's a part of my sound now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that it's wonderful.
Was that one of the motivations behind starting Gig Rig? Making it easier for people to?
So GeekRig was started when I've been touring a lot in Australia, but I've been using MIDI gear and digital processing and stuff, and I really wasn't, I knew there was some better stuff out there, but I thought, well, hey, I've got, everything I use is state of the art, it can't get better than this. And then I was doing a session with a producer who had a box of old effects, and I plugged into an electric mistress into an amplifier, and I just hit the first chord and I freaked out, because I had racks that had flanges in them, you know. And I hear this thing and it's noisy and spitty, and it just changed my life in that moment. I couldn't comprehend how something from the 70s was killing everything that I'd got, which was amazing and had 5-star reviews and the latest technical advancement.
When was that, 90s?
That was in, 92, 93.
Which I guess would have been the dog end of the digital revolution sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was, as people were starting to move back to...
Yeah, I've been touring throughout the early 90s. And anyway, I had all the rack gear, you know, the ADA preamps and all that sort of stuff, and sounded like a midi-up mosquito. And that's a quote from someone who said, man, you sound like a medium mosquito. And anyway, I started getting to these analog stuff, and it just completely changed my life. And I had this fuzz face built for me with, you know, some amazing components, and went out to a guitar store and just bought, I plugged into all these things, and if it vibed, it was so instant. You plug into this thing, it's like, that's it. I can completely get on board with that sound. It's amazing. But what happened was there were two problems. One, when I try and plug these things in together, I was noticing significant signal loss. Okay, right. This isn't, because if I plug into the mistress and into the amplifier, that's it. That's awesome. I put anything on either side of it in bypass, it's like, that's gone. The magic's gone. And the other thing is, because I've been using MIDI gear, it mightn't have sounded great, but I could press one button and go from a clean sound to another, press one button and change from a clean sound to a dirty sound, add chorus and delay and whatever on top of that sound. And so I found I was doing this all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it wasn't sounding as well as I knew it could, and was a pain in the bum. Mm-hmm. So I was asking everyone, you know, is there a solution to this? And I worked on a Pete Cornish rig. A friend of mine was a tech for a band called The Tea Party, and amazing 3-piece band.
Right.
And he had some, he said, oh, look, I don't know about MIDI mapping. Can you come and check this out? Oh, sorry, no. He was the tech for The Tea Party, but this was for a guitar player in Australia called Johnny Diesel.
Right.
Or now just Diesel. And he had this Pete Cornish rig, and it was the most amazing sounding thing. So the pedal board was specifically built for that tour, and it had a hole in the middle because Johnny liked a straight mic stand, and you know, and it had all these switches around it, and the connector that went from the pedal board back to the gear that Pete had built. Honestly, it was like this. It took three guys to move it, you know, and it cost, at the same time, was the price of a house in Australia.
Right.
It sounded unbelievable. It was so detailed, and it did what I wanted to do. It was pressing one button, and things were being taken out of the signal path, and it was sending, you know, you could program stuff up. But that, at that time, was the only option I knew.
Right.
And that just, that wasn't me.
No. So that was the motivation behind it.
Yeah, and I was lamenting to my producer. I was being, no way I'm going to be afforded. And he says, just build it yourself. And I went, okay. And that was it. And I started doing night courses in electronics and trying to get it together to work out how to, because I had from the very first moment, I had a real clear vision of what this thing was going to be. And I was only building it for me. I didn't really think, well, this is going to be a business that's going to change the world, you know. And but now, you know, 14 years on from the first, or 13 years on from the release of the first product, it's you know, it's things are going good.
Yeah, yeah, they are extremely. And I mean, conversely, Nick, you actually you use a ludicrous amount of pedals, but you don't use a pedal board switcher.
I don't. No switcher.
Why? Why haven't you adapted?
No buffers. No switcher. What was the one time I bought? I got a lot of pedals, you know, a handful of pedals off of Craigslist. I think I got this lot for like, it's like $22 or something. And there was the Boss Red Line Switcher. Does anyone know that one?
Yep.
It that had the old one, mm-hmm. right? It was red.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so it was like, oh, it's an effects loop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And the input jack's on the top.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. So I got one of those and the guitar player, Terry Mellis used to have two guitar players, and he used one. And he was like, "Oh yeah, you could do some really cool things with that." And I tried it once, and I guess I mean that's kind of a loop switcher sort of thing, right? I mean that's kind
well, yeah, it's a loop that switches in and out.
Yeah, so like you could have things going into it, and I tried it, and it just did not click with me.
Because you know the rest of the pedal world has adapted to switches.
Totally.
Yeah, but the rest of the amp world has adapted to Kemper. So
that's true, yeah.
So, you know, we all...
Yeah, and so I was talking to someone about this the other day, and like, I don't know, the art of whatever, the pedal dancing or whatever it is, that's like fun to me. And if I was playing, you know, backup guitar in fucking Katy Perry's band or something like that. Yeah, I would have that stuff. Yeah. But like, it doesn't matter to me of like, here's an interesting idea. I have something that relates to this. Last tour we did, I was using a Roland GR30 mm-hmm. synth,
mm-hmm.
the little MIDI pickup, mm-hmm. and then going into the GR30 brain, right? And so I had all these like neat sounds that I would send through my pedal board, and it was really clean, by the way. And so I had the new Boss line selector, the white one, mm-hmm. the newer ones or whatever,
yep.
one of Juan's Mars Volta ones. He has fucking, that guy has like 12 line selectors. Mars Volta would use that many when he would tour with them.
Well, yeah, Juan used to actually be surrounded by pedal
boards. He had four pedal boards. Yeah. So, and I remember seeing photos of that back in the day, long before I knew him. And so I was having this problem where I wanted to be able to send a piano sound through all the pedals, right? But the problem is like on those like crappy 90s synth sounds, which crappy, aka I love, they're my favorite, MIDI sax, like all this just dumb things, love it, right? And it sounds awesome going through certain pedals.
Mm.
But drive pedals with a piano sound out of that, like that could be cool, but just out of my rig sounded awful, right? So we'd have like this crazy fast part where I'd be playing normal guitar, and then on a dime, I would have to switch to a piano section or a synth section, right? Which would require I was using a Quan clone, and that was on the far left side of the board, and I had the line selector as my very first thing,
mm.
right? Even before the tuner, because I would just want to be able to like have a nice solid sound going of the synth thing. So I was like, fuck, man, I was at practice. It was even before we were at practice, because I spent a lot of time putting the boards together, even before we get to band practice, right? So I was like, this is not happening. I was writing everyone I knew. I wrote Boss. I wrote Old Blood Noise, which Brady, who does that company, he's a guitar tech. So writing all my tech friends, and I was like, what do I do about this? And I like, so everyone was emailing me these like detailed ideas about like switchers and all this crazy shit that involved way crazy things about, because it's like, dude, I can't have that drive on when I switch to this piano sound. It needs to come off. So we're talking all these different like loop ideas. Like,
Dan is dying inside of this. Yeah,
did you simply put the drive next to the loop pedal so you hit them together with your foot?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So I have a notebook that I'm like losing sleep over, like, fuck, I cannot get this. And it's like, this is so awful sounding. So my solution was to put the drive next to the line selector. So I'd have to turn my foot sideways. Bang. And the, you know, the success rate was not 100% on that, especially if we're going fast. But by the end of tour, I got it to 4 out of 5 times that I could get it. Okay. But so that just goes to show, like, out of, I, you know, there could have been some way to do it, but I was like, I know, let me just take the drive. And I did some thought about, like, well, can the drive exist at the beginning and not where I would usually have it? And it was totally fine.
Yeah.
And it worked out, and that's how I ended up doing it.
Right.
So I'm down for the wacky, like, stuff. And I guess what I was going to say is, like, I don't mind, like, not nailing it. That's just part of it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, all the pedal shit that I do, that's all. The pedal boards are a whole other instrument to me. Mm. And so, like, you know, a lot of what I, when I'm playing live, it's improvising on the pedals. Yeah, it's not there are certain things where it's like, this sound always happens here as long as I remember to do it or whatever. But, like, I don't mind a delay going over an extra measure because I missed it, or, like, the piano sound having a little bit of drive on it for a second and then me having to improvise around that. Like, I meant to do that, and then turning it off on this weird upbeat or something, you know?
I mean, on that, Tim, the guitarist in Polymath, has two boards. He has a writing board and a performance board.
Okay.
Performance board has a switcher, which he uses, and the writing board is most of those effects, because he has them a couple of times, without the switcher, so that he can create stuff and then write them in.
Nice.
But I think that is the thing. Having, like, recently moved to a switcher, I was like, oh yeah, like, I've got these things set up now. But you want to be able to create as well.
Yeah. Funny side note. So the Quan clone that I was using was like one of the little silver push buttons, right?
Yep.
Not like a Boss style or whatever. And so because I was missing it a couple times, I was like, I know what I could do. Have you guys seen those barefoot button things?
Yeah.
Like, let me drop one of those on it to give me a little bit of more surface area, so when I push down on both of them, I could get it. So we're in Denver, and it kept falling off. I couldn't get it tightened onto it for some reason. I'd be like halfway through a show and I'd hit it and it'd fly off, and I'd have to find it after the show or something. So I'm like, let me drop a little bit of super glue in there and just, like, get it on there so it's not going anywhere. So I just a little dab of super glue, put it on there, let it sit. Then we're in Denver. That was before we sound checked. Then I get set up for sound check, and the fucking super glue would seep into my main drive and, like, locked it up. And I was like, ugh. So, talking about pedals, this company Mantic Effects, which they make the Flex. They make a lot of really amazing pedals. They're our buddies, boutique, really small builder. Well, they're on the up and up, or they're coming up. They're in Denver. They were coming to the show, and I called them, like, hey, can you bring some soldering stuff, and do you have an extra switch laying around? Because I just, like, destroyed this pedal. And they brought all the stuff. They were coming to the show anyways, and fixed it up backstage, switch it out, and I was good to go by our set, which was amazing.
Well, we are coming up to time, gentlemen, so thank you very much all for coming on the
podcast. Thank you.
It's been great.
Listeners at home, if you want to check out more of the Guitar Con stuff, then head on over to the Guitar Nerds Facebook forum, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds forum. All our listeners know that Mark does that bit, and so I'm terrible at links, so that's going to have to do. But thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.